Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we acknowledge the presence of yourself, you who came down to set the church in order, to take headship, to bring us back to your word. We acknowledge your presence. And Lord, we cannot really comprehend it in the sense that we'd like to, but we know we're not prophets yet, Father. We can comprehend it in the sense of your spirit within the word, that you are the word, Lord, tonight to us. May the word come forth, Lord, as was given by vindication to the prophet, and may that life in it take up residence in our lives, giving us greater life and light until the transformation is complete. Guide and direct us, O God, into all truth. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, tonight we're going to start, and I don't know when we'll finish. Jezebel Religion is preached by Brother Branham in Hamilton, Ohio. And I don't think he ever re-preached it. So this is the one copy. And as we go into it, we must remember that all sermons that Brother Branham preached always mentioned the presence of God, the vindicated prophet, and the infallible word coming from the prophet who was vindicated. And furthermore, he always associated himself with those characters in the Bible that were prophets. You notice particularly he associates himself with Elijah. He mentions also in a term concerning David, also Elisha. And of course we know that he told us that the same pillar of fire that came to Paul bringing the word returned in our day to William Branham to reveal the word. So you'll see this even in this message that Brother Branham way back, I suppose about 1958 or 60, somewhere in there, and he preached this, I can't remember, it's really not consequential. But you'll see it in this message. Now, Brother Branham takes a little verse of scripture from 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, and he simply reads that one verse, and he says, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain in these years, according to my word." Then dropping down to paragraph 29, he says, "This strange-looking man with a staff in his hand, his steps steady, his eyes gleaming with the glory of God, his beard flowing to one side of him, an old hairy piece of sheepskin wrapped around him, he was taking sturdy steps as he walked down the road to Samaria. He wasn't very much to look at, but he had thus saith the Lord for that great nation. Yes, Elijah the Tishbite, a prophet of the Lord, wasn't much to look at, but he had the word of the Lord." Now, we'll look at that under certain specific thoughts. And the first thought, of course, is that Brother Branham is bringing to our attention, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, we're all familiar with that, of course, that that is the mark of the prophet, according to Deuteronomy chapter 18, where Israel desired to know what a true prophet was in contradistinction to a false prophet, who evidently could prophesy and have signs and wonders. And so God told them that this man who would come in the name of the Lord would have thus saith the Lord, and the thing which he prophesied, which would be the evidence that he was that particular one sent from God, would come to pass. Then you were to fear him, which meant you were duty bound to listen to him and obey what he had to say. Now, the scripture also tells us in Deuteronomy 13 that there were those with their signs and their wonders, but they could not have had thus saith the Lord. Because if they'd have had thus saith the Lord, they would have had the word of the Lord. Now remember, there's no way that God could ever allow anybody to say, "Thus saith the Lord," back him up, and that person be false. You must understand that Brother Branham then was pleading his case. "I am a true prophet. I am a true prophet." That he what he was doing. But the people didn't believe him. What was it in Middletown, Ohio? It was Lindsay and Duplessy, as far as I remember the names. I guess, you know, I shouldn't call names, but I always do things I shouldn't do. so I'm going to shouldn't do it again. But they were the ones that Brother Branham heard when he was in his hotel room without being on the platform. They said, Brother Branham is a prophet when he discerns your problems, but he's off in his doctrine. And they're supposed to be intelligent people. They're supposed to be born again. I think Duplessis is still living. I wonder if he's going to have a heart attack when I will bring you a tape transcribed, you got the job, of Dr. Malachi Martin, who will let you know from the Pope himself that by 1990, the Pope will head a world government. 1999, beg your pardon. It'll all be written out, and I'll read it over the Pope and go on all the tapes. Where does Duplessis stand today if he's alive? Mr. Pentecost, that took the Pentecostals to the Vatican. Thy Bible says, beware of dogs. After the tree of life comes into view, the separation takes place, which we'll see as we go on in this message, with outer dogs, male prostitutes, men that prostitute themselves to the whoredoms of Rome, organization and denomination. Now, Brother Branham had thus said the Lord. Not once or twice, but thousands of times, there never was a failure. Had there been one failure, and when he said, tell me one time it failed, he wasn't saying, take a whole compilation of my life, take every time I said it, and try to find one. He wasn't saying that, as though people were grabbing onto it and said, let's just find one. He was letting you know there could not be a failure. And there never was a failure at any particular time, nor could there be. So he's proving his office as he opens this little testimony to the people of Ohio who evidently prefer another spirit than the Spirit of God. Over here in the book of Luke, chapter 24 and 25, we see this Jesus repudiated, who was repudiated by the Pharisees, Israel, Rome, comes back in a glorified form, and he says to these people, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now, how did these people know the prophets spoke? You know, they believed the Bible without any proof. How did they know Moses had thus saith the Lord and did those miracles? Hogwash. Anybody can write a book. Anybody can tell a lie. Anybody can do what he wants. Christ came and vindicated them. Then he rose from the dead. In his own particular vindication. And he said, all fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said. And they were rebuked. His own disciples were rebuked. In other words, the bride of the hour was rebuked. I wonder if we are in the same despicable condition. We don't grasp what thus saith the Lord means and stands on it. And I can tell you tonight we don't, or we'd all be healed. Brother Branham categorically said two times, if you only know who I am, you'd all be healed. Now, was he speaking in the first person of the Holy Ghost, or was he speaking in the third person concerning himself? He was speaking concerning himself. But they couldn't recognize who he was. Just meant yet put it to the first person, Christ. Now, you think I'm reversed in my English, but I'm not. I'm doing it on purpose. The first person would be William Brown, the third person, Jesus. But when God speaks through a man, the voice, the words of God are in that person. You're listening to God, not the man. Because the man's a dumb dodo or a dumbbell. He's just a doorknob. All right. Jesus said, if you knew who I was, it would be based upon knowing who Moses was. He said, you don't know Moses, you don't know me. What is he saying in this hour through the lips of William Branham, that previous even to 1960? That's 30 years have gone by in 25 years since he's gone. Do we really recognize the authority of thus saith the Lord? You can live by that, or you will die by that. And if you're a real godly bride, you'll live and die by it. And sink or swim, that finishes it. You know, I'm always in the crossfire. I didn't ask to be there, but I think my mouth puts me there. Worse than what the privilege of having studied Brother Branham. Always in the crossfire. And let me tell you something. I would leave this message now. I would forget anything about God. I wouldn't be interested. Because I notice what goes round about me. But there's one thing. Who backs up Brother Branham? What God was it? What spirit was it? What was it? If it was anything. There's a picture. That's thus saith the Lord, brother, sister. Now, do you think those Pentecostals caught it? No, they didn't catch it, and they're never going to catch it. There's no way. Because they heard the voice of duplicity. They heard the voice of these other men. Trinitarians. Who know not God. Right back to the old harlot. Thus saith the Lord. Notice. He had thus saith the Lord for that great nation Israel. All right. Thus saith the Lord went to one people and no other people. Thus saith the Lord could not go to the Muslims. No way. It could not go to those people in China or the Buddhists. It had to go to one person, so to speak, one nation, one people, and that was Israel. And when he took it there, they saw it, but they didn't believe it. Now, let's go here for a second and look at Deuteronomy. Chapter 4 and verses 1 to 10. Now, this is Moses. This is Moses bringing the quality, the character, and the honor bestowed upon a people for one reason. Vindicated word of God. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord your God, the Lord God of your fathers, giveth you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. One word on, one word off, no longer are they the commandments of God, though you keep them and swear by them. You are not keeping the commandments of God. That's why Brother Branham said, don't add or take from this message, say what I say. Now, it doesn't matter how you say it, how involved you put it, and the scriptures you use to tell somebody else. The point is, say what he said. And you'll notice this Bible says the same things 100 different ways. And 100 different times, if you have to. Now, your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. Now, what about Baal Peor? That's where the false prophet was with his prophecies. Steering them away from the Word of God into spiritual and physical adultery. That they might worship another person, because the word Baal actually means master. For all the men that fall at Baal Peor, the Lord thy God destroyed them among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God, are alive every one of you this day. Now those that stuck with Moses, turned aside from the false. And remember, those people at Baal Peor were related to Israel. Distant cousins, so to speak. But remember, they were the ones that were left. They're coming down from Lot and his daughters. The Midianites. Born of incest. Born at a time of terrible homosexuality, where the homosexuals ran the government. Lot was not a homosexual, but he was run and controlled by homosexuals. I still don't know whether Feinstein is going to be governor of California, but I'm sort of betting on it. Because she's played footsie with that bunch. And some states got to have a governor that's going to go that way, let's face it, though perhaps they've got several already in a mild way. I'm nothing against California, it's a nice state, it's going to go under. Now, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land, whither you go to possess it, whether you know it or not. This message is preparing you for the millennium. Because they without us cannot be made perfect. Their headship demands a resurrection. Our headship doesn't demand a resurrection. It demands a transformation at the tree of life and walking into immortality. So this message gets you ready. You say you want to take off? We better take off the old grave wraps. Put on the new ones. Wash your robes. Now, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the heathen, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is wise and understanding people. And Brother Branham said, the heathen are going to have the gospel preached to them in the resurrection. You think you're going to bring up any other gospel than this gospel? The Word of God which is vindicated? I'm laying it on hard. I get a lot of criticism for it. Doesn't bother me a little bit. Because I'm fighting for my life right now. I've got to keep telling myself over and over again in the face of everything I see and what's going on. We have a vindicated prophet. And this Word is everything or it's nothing. Not be criticized for word, word, word. Well, what made the world? What keeps the world? Who's identified with it? Christ the Word. I don't understand people. I don't even try to understand them. It isn't worth my while. Let them keep their distance. I'll keep mine. All right, for what nation is so great that their God, that God is so nigh to them? As the Lord God is in all these things that we call upon him for. And what nation is there so great and has statutes and judgments and so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Only take heed to yourself. You keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they depart from your heart all the days of your life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stood before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I'll make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and they may teach their children, and so on. This to me is a perfect picture to open the seven seals. Now, with this, we want to go to Numbers. And in Numbers, the 24th chapter, beg your pardon, 23rd chapter, and in verse 7. Starting at 7. Balaam. And Balaam took up a parable. Balaam, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram, out of the mountains of these saying, curse me, come curse me, Jacob, and smite, and come defy Israel. Now watch that. Here is where we have this big thing at Baal Peor. The destruction, seduction and the destruction, attempted destruction of all Israel. Now he's going to curse these people. He said, come and defy Israel. Curse me, Jacob. Now remember, Baal, the prophets of Baal defied Elijah at the time of Ahab under Jezebel religion. This same bunch. There are not three spirits in the world. There are two spirits in the world. One is God and one's the devil's. Now this one is not God, so God is speaking through the man. Here's a perfect picture of a man sold out to the devil, but manipulating a gift with a perfect true anointing, and he himself as phony as the devil, because he dies in battle fighting Israel. Hey, are you getting it? Are you really getting the picture of that, what I'm talking about? This is going on today, not tomorrow, not yesterday. This is going on today. This is what's happening. Why do you think Brother Branham is talking the way he's talking? He's standing there and says, I am Elijah. I am showing you these things now. And whether you know it or not, you are in the judgment. You're not going to change. I waste many hours over myself and you being morbid, disgruntled, animated the wrong way. People aren't going to change. Look at yourselves the last 10 years. Where have you really changed? We saw Brother Bill, I just came missing a few years ago. That's great. But look, really look at your lives. I'm talking about lives now. Either we're seed or you weren't seed. You can't make a difference. You think a horse after 25 years knows he's going to die? Says, hey, you know, I'm an elephant. They live to be 90. You know, seed is seed. These people here. All right, let's keep reading. From the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. And there's no way to count them. He says here, who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? So on. He's saying, you know, you can't count dust. There's no way then you can figure the child of God. They are separate, they are alone, and the prophet comes to God's children, nobody else. He went to Israel, the great nation. He did not go someplace else. He was not trotting down to Tyre or Babylon or someplace else. He went up to Israel. Notice the third thing. After, it says, he walked down to Samaria. Now, what about Samaria? Samaria is the northern kingdom. It's where Dan and Ephraim are, who you will notice are not written in the genealogy in the book of Revelation, about the 8th chapter, I guess it is. Because, as Brother Branham said, the ever-remembering God remembered they sold themselves into idolatry. And remember, when Polycarp was going to Rome, a voice thundered from heaven, "Leave her alone, for him alone. Ephraim is bound to his idols." It was there that Samaria was built. It was the capital. It was there that Ahab married Jezebel, the daughter of a priest of Ethbaal, and she became queen. And remember, at the time of Solomon, and even David, by choosing multiple wives, but mostly Solomon, because he was the one that went haywire. David was wrong in his relationships. But Solomon's heart, after standing in front of God, was changed by his wives to idolatry. So here we see idolatry, and we see Jezebel ensconced in this particular position. Now, if we go to 1 Kings chapter 16, and we're going to take our time and quit when we feel like it, which will be that time. In the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, began Omri to reign over Israel. 12 years, 6 years reigned he in Tirzah. That's 1 Kings 16, 23. And he bought the hill Samaria Shemer for 2 talents of silver, and built on the hill, and called the name of the city which he built after the name of Shemer, owner of the hill, Samaria. Okay, there's where it comes from. But Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord, and did worse than all those that were before him. Now here's your split kingdom under Jeroboam. Rehoboam and Jeroboam split. And he walked, for he walked in all the way of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin, to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. Now remember, Israel was strictly forbidden to marry anybody but an Israelitish woman unless she became a convert in the legal ways, as did Naomi, or rather Ruth, the daughter-in-law. Naomi was an Israelite, went back home. Now, and the rest of the acts of Omri, which he did, and his might that he showed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicle of the Kings? All right, now, the temple was built there, a temple unto idolatry, and not unto Almighty God. Now we go to the 16th chapter, the 28th verse. It says, "So Omri slept with his fathers, was buried in Samaria, and Ahab his son reigned in his stead. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab the son of Omri to reign over Israel." Now Asa was a good king. Now he was over Judah, the 1.5 tribes. "And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, he took his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria." So here we find the seat of idolatry. Jezebel religion coming out of Samaria. Okay, now, 1 Kings 12, 25 to 33. "Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and dwelt therein, and went up from thence and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to sacrifice in the house of the Lord of Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again to their Lord, even unto Rehoboam king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go to Rehoboam king of Judah." Showing you that religion is the most powerful factor in society. Now, because you got a bunch of stupid jackasses here in America that treat, "I'm an atheist," would you dare to tell that to a Mohammedan? Where's Russia today after 70 years of communism and denying God? Gorbachev tells you flat, I was taken to the church by my grandmother and christened as a Christian. And I believe my mother is a Christian. And he does not deny God. You are looking at the strongest force in life, which is religion, because it will supersede science and politics, because neither one of those can plumb the spiritual. You can't find God in a test tube. There's no way you can prove it. So we're looking at religion, the strongest force. See? Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said to them, it is too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Behold, thy gods of Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now he made two calves the same as Aaron did. Now remember, when Aaron fashioned those calves, they came forth supernaturally. In other words, there was some type of a programmer that brought them forth. It could be nothing but the spirit of the enemy, which is the devil. So therefore, who do you think is the author of this religion? Jezebel religion is absolutely of the devil. It is idolatry. And the tricky thing is this, it is mixed idolatry. You notice that this fella here said, listen, they'll go to Jerusalem. We'll worship God here. So they don't throw God out. They put the calves in the symbols. What has the Roman Catholic Church done? Thrown out Jesus Christ, thrown out God, thrown out the saints. Brought in heathen deity, then put fine names of God and saints on them. Anybody knows that. Catholics themselves know. How they stay with the religion, I don't know. It just shows you again, the religion is stronger than science, is stronger than reason, is stronger than anything. So therefore, you better have the right religion. Because you're going to need it. Okay. So he put one in Bethel and one in Dan. And this thing became a sin for the people, went to worship before one even to Dan. He made a house of high places, made priests of the lowest people, which were not the sons of Levi. Notice that. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month, in the 15th day of the month, like on the feast which is in Judah. He offered upon the altar. See what he do? He did? He mixed Christianity, because Messiah, as they call it, is Christ, the anointed one. I don't care whether you call it Jesus or Christ or whatever. The Jews are Christians. They believe in Messiah. They're talking right now, Messiah coming. They can't figure it, but after all these years, they say Messiah's coming. Going to get us out of the mess. Which he will. All right, you can see what they did. They absolutely blended the truth with error. That's exactly what Satan did. And from that time on, the actions of men, apart from revelation, worshiping God, became sin. I'd appear to say, well, you know, Brother Vail, the greatest sin in the world, you know, it maybe is adultery and this and that. I've got news for you. The great sin in the world is blaspheming the Holy Ghost and going against the Word of God which has been revealed to you. Denying the being of God. You say what you want, but that's the truth. Now, Samaria therefore became a melting pot. It was a melting pot. Now, you'll notice that Jesus said, when I send you forth, I don't want you going to Samaria. But notice what he did. He himself went to Samaria. How come Elijah didn't go down to Jerusalem? Oh, he was around there all right. But he went down to Samaria. Now, after Elijah, we're typing now, Brother Branham, Elijah, talking about Jesus. Once Jesus went down, and he died and rose again, then the word went from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria. Now, Brother Branham spoke on end-time evangelism. Brother Branham himself came to America. He went to the world. And from that point on, he bemoaned the fact that there weren't young men of any age, doesn't matter, who would follow him and take the same word around the world. And they should have. They're doing it now, thank God. All the seed will come in because God doesn't fail. But you can see how this runs in perfect continuity. Jezebel religion is here in America. The end time revelation started in America. It was taken overseas. It was soundly and roundly turned down. And now it is going forth the way it should be going forth, in the sense it is now being taken up. All right. Number one, thus saith the Lord. Number two, Israel. Number three, he goes to Samaria. And remember, Brother Branham parallels America absolutely to Israel. And it's Israel, Samaria, the northern tribes, the majority, Judah is not in it, but the 10.5 tribes are in it. He got a half tribe of Benjamin and one tribe of Judah. They're not with that bunch. See? But the other bunch are in their idolatry. So there is a true seed of bride who hears the word that Elijah brings, but the rest of them, they're not going to have anything to do with it, but it must go there. All right. Now, just again, he wasn't very much to look at. Certainly he wasn't very much to look at. The wisdom of God has never been accepted as wisdom. Why? Because it comes in human vessels. And the human vessel then is termed a crackpot. Now, there are people alarmed over the fact that the Globe or some paper, what is it, Brian, the one that had Brother Brown's picture? The news. Well, whatever it is, it's a new one on me, some news. Anyway, there's a fellow finally got a hold of Brother Branham's picture, the pillar of fire, and I guess the cloud of angels and all those things. And he is a medium. He's a crackpot psychic. He thinks he's some kind of a, what do you call it, spiritist. Look in the future, some kind of a seer. And so he gloms onto Brother Branham's picture and associates Brother Branham's picture and this man's ministry with his. Well, don't you realize that Balaam did the same thing? He grabbed onto Moses, associated with him. And who knows, this fellow may start to bring forth some pretty startling things. I don't know what he's going to do. I know he'd have to your money because you're supposed to send money or something. Always ask for it. Like Brother L. Then Ellen got so mad because he understood that Brother L was getting him a lot of money because people thought that Brother L was Brother Allen. You know, the golden calf. You know about that years ago? Well, you know, if you do, people that keep abreast of these things, you can get a kind of a kick out of it. But that's what's going on. See, this guy here, he'll try to make traffic on Brother Branham. But I'm going to tell you, a lot of preaching, a lot of people are making traffic on Brother Branham. I could tell you a sad story right there, but what's the use? It's not something we need to go into. All right. Now, he wasn't much to look at because the wisdom of God is revealed or described in this manner. The foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom men. And he also said, you are wise in your own conceits, which means you are puffed up and you think you're a sophisticate, but you're nothing but an idiot. He taketh the wise in their own folly. In other words, the wise on this earth are nothing but fools because they vaunt themselves against the purpose and truth of God, especially at a juncture and a judgment where God came forth and had his presence. That's what he photographed. Now, that pillar of fire is not God. He's in the pillar of fire. That's a Shekinah glory. That's a glory attendant. Now, all right. Now, Elijah had a message to be delivered to Israel. Exactly. Now, let's just take our time, as I say, because we want to get everything we can possibly line up here. Let's look at the setting of this message. 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, the balm of Gilead, he came out of a good place. Is there no balm in Gilead? The rose of Sharon, the balm of Gilead. He came out of the right roots. He came out of the roots of Christ. Said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now, and the word of the Lord came to saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith before Jordan and so on. And he went down there, and of course he was fed there by the raven. Then he goes down to Zarephath where there's a widow. And he wants to have a little bit of meat, a little bit to drink. And she said, well, now, I don't have anything to give anybody. But he said, now, thus saith the Lord as the Lord liveth. I tell you what, you don't have any fear. But you go ahead and do that, and you will have meal continuously and water continuously, and you'll be able to live when a lot of other people aren't living. And she said, well, she said, I tell you, I believe what you're saying. I believe you're a prophet. Now, that could have been a real skin game right there. Now, what made that stupid little idiot woman believe? You know what? Something said something inside. You know something? How many of you ever feed birds outside? We feed birds. You know something? Here comes a cardinal. Here comes a jay. Here comes a sparrow. Here comes a starling. Perish the thought. Here comes a blackbird. Not so bad. Here comes his net. And I see them. And you know something? They never crossbreed. You can look out and see birds that to your naked eye could be identical. You catch them mating? Ha, listen. They don't go near each other. What I'm trying to tell you is this. There is something that knows within the genes of that particular species. How do the birds know how to fly south and what path to take? How do these wild creatures know anything? Because they have an instinct which we lost, the sixth sense, that faith. Now, this woman recognized, without any manifestation, this was a prophet. You know something? Every single one that's a seed of God could and would do the same thing, but God doesn't do it that way. Now, notice, after this happened, it tells you that the woman, there was a sickness came into the house, and the boy died. Now then, what happens? The child is raised by Elijah. Now what I want you to notice is this. This woman here, after the curse was upon Israel, being a seed of God, she was willing to share what she had, which in this case was her sustenance, which we can put, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And she put the word of God above her own living, because she knew something was there. And he then shared with her the miracle working power, which she more than recognized that this was a prophet sent from God. Brother Branham did the same thing. There's your thus saith the Lord. Here's your sign and your wonder. Getting his miracle ministry ready. All right. In other words, vindication is there. Now let's go to the 18th chapter. And it came to pass after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Now, Brother Branham never moved out till 1946. At that time, God said, show yourself to the world of God to get the healing to take to the world. So now, he said, show yourself, I'll send rain upon the earth. And Ahab went to, Elijah went to show himself to Ahab, and there was a sore famine. Now, you'll notice out of this, and we won't take time to read because time goes too fast. The next thing you find here is that in this process to receive rain, which spells restoration. Rain spells restoration. It can't spell birth because rain of itself does not bring seed. Rain of itself does not bring a plant. Rain of itself doesn't bring anything. Something has already got to be there. And remember, Isaiah compares the word to rain. So, all right. At this particular point, he said, there's going to be rain. Now, in order to produce the rain, which will bring restoration, which in my understanding, as poor as it is word, because Isaiah says it is. There's got to be a certain indication that this is the truth. So, all right, there's a confrontation between the prophets of Baal and with Elijah, and the rain comes. Thus saith the Lord. When Brother Branham had his confrontation in Chicago with about 300 Pentecostals, none of them had thus saith the Lord, Brother Branham. And the prophets of Baal were defeated at that time. Although they didn't admit defeat because Brother Branham didn't have the power to put to put death upon anybody because they already were dead. The carrying a person out doesn't mean anything. Because you can carry him out and burn him. He's going to bury him. He's going to come right back. And that's when he really burned. Now, at this particular time then, we find that the deliverance was wrought in Israel. In other words, the Spirit-filled Word came to Israel, pointing them back to the true and the living God. And remember, they already had the Word on the same principle and the same basis. Think what God went through. To vindicate a man, to bring a vindicated word, then bring another vindicated man to vindicate the word that was vindicated. And you know a lot of goofy people around this message are looking for further vindication? I don't know what they're talking about. I know what they want. But that is their business. All right. Now then, the rain came upon Israel. Did it then cause seed to come? No, it didn't. The seed was there. It was back in Moses' day the Word was created. And in this hour the Word is created. Right? There's a big difference. Now, the Word watered Israel. And at that time Elijah said, God, there's nobody here but me. And God says, you're fooling yourself. There are 7,000 haven't bowed the knee to Baal. And you know the reason they hadn't bowed the knee to Baal? They knew Baal was a phony. But they didn't have enough to understand true worship and the true God because the Word had been taken from them. And idolatry had now filled the courts and the temples and everything else in their minds, teaching their kids in school. If you think for 1 minute you got it tough with your kids, what do you think back there? Do you think Jezebel and the old boy, you know, the old fellow Ahab, do you think for 1 minute they'd allow your kids, if you were back there, to be trained right in the gospel? Come on, there never has been a time that's been any different. No, you're belly aching and beefing about it, just stand up to it. Sure, that's what you got to do. How much you do is what we don't know. Now, listen. There was a Mount Carmel showdown at that particular time, and the rain or the Word brought a restoration. It brought a separation and a worship unto God and a condemnation to the rest who didn't believe. And they weren't about to believe. Now, at the end time, with the true revelation, the true former rain, now, at the time of the latter rain, the same Word restored that Paul brought, there is a Mount Zion showdown. Now remember, all this is in the face of Jezebel religion, and let me now confirm to you everything outside of what we are teaching from Brother Branham, and I'm talking not about myself, but about Brother Branham, all else is Jezebel religion. Amen. Even those who understand to this extent now that communism has fallen, they're going to have to look to the Catholic Church. They won't do it, though, really. They're going to say, well, it can't be that. Now, some are smartening up already. I got books and things I can show you they're smartening up. But the rest won't believe it. They're going to say, well, you see what it is? It's the old Roman Empire, and it's that Euromark. That's what's doing it. And they'll bypass the whole picture. Not realizing it has been already a confrontation with the prophets of Baal. And let's understand this. Elijah failed. He flopped. Because as soon as the Word was restored and the mighty God of Israel manifested, the bunch went after him, especially Jezebel, to kill him. And except God hid him away, she'd have killed him. So if you think anybody's going to convert Jezebel and Jezebel religion, you're wrong. You are here as a witness, and Elijah came to you. And remember, Elijah in this day is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, not a man God, but it comes by a prophet. quoting William Branham the best I can do. All right, let's keep going on. He wasn't afraid to stand before the king, for he had been in the presence of a far greater than the king. He had been in the presence of Jehovah. There again, you will notice the constant reiteration, the emphasis, the hammering of the presence of God. I talked to a certain fellow the other day, and I said, look, son, I want to tell you something. I said, I know that you and other people don't know what I teach. You even think I'm wrong. But I'm going to tell you exactly what Brother Branham said. He said, my message, my ministry is to declare that he is here. I said, that's the centrality of the whole thing. I said, you think the word proves you something funny. It's not. What it is, it's a literal appearing, the presence of Jesus Christ himself. As Brother Branham said, God did not only go down to Moses with Moses teaching and appear in mighty signs and wonders, but he himself appeared in a pillar of fire upon Mount Sinai. I saw today, and we've got his picture. And he said, well, I have to think it over. Yeah, he'll think it over. He's not going to get off the ground. Not with that attitude. Because he knows it all. Oh, after all, I got a name. You know, I'm a great guy. I got money. Yeah. Wonder how they got it. The presence of Jehovah. Now remember, Jehovah of the Old Testament, Jesus of the New. So, when Brother Brown speaks of Jehovah, it's the same identical as when the light appeared to Paul and said, I am Jesus or Jehovah's Savior. In other words, you see one of the aspects of God by title in order to differentiate and to zero in on exactly what is going on. And he said to Paul, I am Jehovah your Savior, whether you know it or not. Well, what about today? You're all a bunch of Trinitarians sitting here like I was years ago. Although I got to one God many, many years ago, but I didn't understand like I understand today. I just knew, hey. Just like this female spirit bitch. Say, well, this is the Holy Ghost is actually male, and that the seed in you is like spirit. Is the spirit in you this female? I thought this was a gene from God. Now, if I got a female gene from God, then God's got to be female. Don't get even messed up in your illustrations. I've been accused of saying, another guy said it many miles from here. I didn't say it. Another man said it. But he said, I teach just like Lee Vail. Well, you don't teach like Lee Vail. He'd be ashamed to anyway. He's charismatic with lots of nice English. So you can have it. All right. He had been the presence of a greater than the king. He had been the presence of Jehovah. All right. What was that presence of Jehovah like? Let's go back to the beginning when God actually began to deal with prophets as we know it today. Now remember, you do not go back to Abraham except for paternity. When you deal with prophets, you go to Moses. Because Moses said, by the Spirit of God, the Lord your God shall raise up a prophet like unto me. So you got to go back to Moses. We go back to Moses, chapter 3 in Exodus. It says in 1 to 6, and Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and reached the Midian. He led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Now you see, they knew quite a bit about God. See, there's Midianites. See, wrong bunch. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I'll turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called out of the midst of the bush. He said, Moses, Moses, said, here am I. He said, draw not nigh thither. Put off your shoes and off your feet, for the place you stand where is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face and was afraid to look upon God, and so on. All right, there you see the beginning. Okay, let's go down to Exodus, the fourth chapter. And Moses, the first chapter, Moses, first verse, behold, they'll not believe me nor hearken unto my voice. They'll say the Lord had not appeared to you. What are you trying to tell? Call us into something, you idiot? We know how what you did when you escaped out of here, and now you're trying to call us out of something else. You got us in a big mess back there, and you're going to get us some more mess? The Lord said, what's in your hand? He said, a rod. Cast on the ground. Cast on the ground became a serpent, Moses, and so on. Now you did the signs that were in the hand, and so on. So God sent Moses down there. So what do we know about the presence of God? We know if a man truly is in the presence of God, as stated by William Branham, he will be a prophet from the presence of God, and he will have those signs and wonders as indicated, except in the case of a John the Baptist, who was a great prophet, but he didn't need any signs or wonders because Christ himself vindicated John the Baptist. Now, who do you think is vindicating Moses? Who do you think was vindicating Paul? And who do you think was vindicating William Branham? The same God that came on the scene and vindicated John the Baptist. There's no difference. You can't change the premise. You can't change the doctrine. There's no way. All right, from the presence of God. Okay, Moses saw the presence, but Israel saw only the evidence until they were allowed to see the fire on Mount Sinai. We have at this point been allowed to see the picture of the pillar of fire, supernatural picture, true. But remember, the prophet in the presence of God is our day, is the seventh church age messenger who stood in God's presence, and we will see the Lord. At the Mount Sinai showdown with the rapture, when we crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he won't be William Branham. That's something going around the country, too. You can imagine where that came from. Ascended masters, brother, sister, that's all they believe in is ascended masters. Don't you believe otherwise? It's an idolatry and heresy of the rankest degree. I told William Branham's face, I said, you are not Jesus Christ. I love you. But you're not my Lord. You didn't die for me. A certain man came to him. He said, when I'm around, he told me, he said, when I'm around people that believe Brother Branham is Jesus Christ, he said, I get all excited. He said, I just want to fall in line. I said, I don't. I get mad. So I thought, well, maybe something's wrong with me. I'll check it out with the man himself. I said, Brother Branham, I said, so-and-so says he just wants to go along. I said, Brother Ben, I get mad. He said, so you should. Amen. Right. So I said a while ago, what crosses my path and what I know, except for thus saith the Lord, I wouldn't be interested in anything. Because show me you got something. Ha! Hogwash, crap, crap, and balderdash. Not even fit to sit around and tell jokes about it. Where are you going? Four people hate me because I got to give you a mindset. You don't have that mindset. I want a mindset. Get the Word of God in my mind and mind His business. All right, therefore, he knew where he was standing. What does he mean there? He is vindicated. He's talked to God so he can come down and say, listen to me. If God tells me to go to Washington and raise Abraham Lincoln from the dead, I will go there and challenge the armies of the earth to shoot me down if I can't do it. He also said about George Washington. That goes quite a bit further back. I don't care if he goes back even 40 days, raise somebody dead in 40 days. That's a resurrection, kid, whether you believe it or not. Absolutely. What if I were to tell you, is it possible William Branham could come back here in his own little private resurrection and not be a true resurrection, be a human body like Lazarus? And then be changed? You know something? God can do what he wants to do. He hasn't told me he's going to do it, and I know he pays he will do it. But God can do what he wants to do. When a man like John the Baptist can be full of the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb, you talk about a glorious straitjacket. Oh, wouldn't I love to have that? From my mother's womb? Gee, forget it. You're in the same boat. Wouldn't be nice, though. Sweet, kind. Not sinful. Knowing God, knowing His best. It's going to happen. It's called millennium. And you get 1,000 years just as a start. He said, don't worry about it. He knew where he was standing, and when he walked before the king, got before him, he didn't stutter and stammer. He knew what he was talking about. He could say to the king, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Now, why did he say that? Because there was a confrontation as to who was God. Jeroboam said, hey, these are your gods that led you out. And Ahab comes behind, and he's the stinkiest one of the works. He hears, well, here's your gods. He's got a Jezebel behind him to give him complete idolatry. Elijah comes on, knocks here. Listen, Ahab, the Lord God of Israel sent me. You know something? Unless you're a complete voodoo artist, that would strike terror into you. Amen. Do you think for 1 minute this guy was terror struck? He didn't care two bits for Elijah. Didn't care two bits for God. So he came and he said, there will be no rain or no dew till I call for it. Till I call for it. Why did he say that? Till I call for it. According to my word. Because he had the word of the Lord. He was a prophet. And the prophet has the word of the Lord. Okay. Let's go to Jeremiah. And we read this many times. Read it again. Because listen. I didn't expect to preach the way I'm preaching tonight. God's my witness. I got a few notes scribbled here, but I'm led to say these things, and I'm going to say them. So I'm saying to you, listen, Jeremiah 1:9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said, behold, I have put my words in your head, and they will go through your mouth. Behold, I have put my words not on your head, but in your heart. Come out your mouth. That's a lie. I put my words in your mouth, period. You haven't got a clue about where they're coming from and where they're going, except you know you're motivated by me, and I'm telling you, and your words will not be your own words. They do not. Paul the Apostle said the same thing. He said, I raise my hand before God and tell you the truth. What I'm telling you hasn't got one thing to do with me or anybody. And I sat at the feet of the greatest man called Gamaliel. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I'm educated to the hilt. You can't put your finger on me concerning the things that the people said I should know and that the church said I should know. And my life has been exemplary. Even to the effect that I'm obeying God when he said, kill those people. I went right against the Roman government to kill people, to obey my God. And they could have put me in prison, taken my head off. You can't put your finger on me. Did he know God? No. He didn't know God. But he said at the end time when he knew him, he put his words in my mouth. Let's go to his Jeremiah 1:12. Then the Lord said to me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Now what is he doing here? He gave him a vision, and he tells the vision, and he said, what you saw, the words I put in your mouth, he said, I stand behind my word to perform it, and believe me, I will do it, and nobody's going to stop me. In other words, he said, son, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to put my words in your mouth, then get out of my way. Step aside, boy. That's the difference between a real prophet and a make-believe guy that's after your life and your money, your wife or something else. Brother Branham knew how to step aside. Amen. He himself told you, I know how to get out of the way. But you know that's not difficult to believe. If you could have this experience. We just talked about John the Baptist. It's a great and glorious thing. It's marvelous beyond compare. Let's go to Ezekiel. 12th chapter. Back here. I think we want verse 25. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O house of rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God. Now, how's it? What's he doing? He's talking through a vessel. And remember, the vessel wrote it all down. He had perfect recall. That's why the Bible absolutely is the truth by men who had perfect recall. All right. So we see here, thus far, at paragraph 30, we're looking at our setting. And as we're doing it, we're coming into the place where we will be able to transfer this into the next paragraph where America and Israel are identified by the prophet as being one. Israel of old, America today, under Jezebel religion. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your word which you have given us. You've not failed us any way, shape, and form, but given us the help to recall to mind these things, O God, that the prophet said, and also to be restrained in certain areas, though not restrained in others. We appreciate that too. And we pray, Lord, as we have already prayed, that this instruction giving us this light to our path, this lamp to our feet, will now be that light to our hearts and especially our minds, into our souls, so that we will meditate upon this and be solely identified with it, coming out from among them, being separate. And we know, Lord, there's only one place we're going to be really separate, and that's the Word, because that's exactly what Moses said made the difference. And that's what the prophet said at the end time made the difference. That's what Paul said. It all comes down to your word, which, Lord, we believe is a prophet by vindication. We believe he's vindicated, Lord, by you, because he had thus said the Lord, God of the Bible. Positively said, that which is perfect has come, because we believe by the grace of God we have the perfect revelation of the word for this hour. No more in parts, but it's done. Seals open, everything given to get a bride out of here. And if that's the case, Lord, it's been given to get the dead out of the ground too. Help us to understand these things and stand with this word, to look at that which is present, to not go back and not go forward, but to see those things by the Spirit that are here in front of us. And we see them more and more, even to the extent, Father, as we hear an emissary from the Pope, the man that is positively recognized as the one, the great analyst of the Roman Catholic Kingdom, has said the Pope himself knows whether he is here or not. By 1999, before the 2000, before 10 years go by, there's going to be the Pope heading the world government. Now, Lord, we know that that's a prophecy that comes out of your Bible without the date. And if they set their own dates, Lord, that's their business. But we also know you can anoint that person to say the truth. Because you said you yourself would send strong deception, that men would believe the lie. And here we find this coming to pass right in this our day. It's in politics. It's everywhere. And we're grateful, Lord, that we can see it all rounding up. It gives us tremendous great courage. Thank you for your grace and your love that you help us thus far to help us all the way. And unto the King eternal and immortal, which you are, we give our hearts and our minds, our blessings, and all the glory that we can. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to go to the scripture now to read. I imagine we'll go to John 13. It's kind of feel that's the place to go instead of over in Corinthians again. Just to read while we get ready for the communion foot washing. And it says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now the feast of the Passover, of course, is when they had the Passover lamb. And they ate the lamb, of course. And they ate the bitter herbs. And they girded themselves for the journey. That's what happened back there in Egypt. And this, of course, is a continuation of what they did in commemoration to keep their hearts and their minds always in place by this great thing which God had done. Now remember, Jesus had said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. So now this commemoration here, the Israel is going to feast. They're going to take the lamb and they'll eat it at the Passover, not knowing that from that moment on there could be no more sacrifice for sin, because that was the same time that Jesus would be crucified. He would die having given his body, and then there would be a communion service from that time on when people taking the bread and the wine, symbolizing the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ, eating it as they eat the Passover lamb, which they don't eat his body, but they to eat of the body of the Word, which they do, and the Word being full of life, full of the Holy Ghost, will positively give them that which they have need of to take them to the end of their journey, which will one day be in the paradise, the new heavens and the new earth, the new Jerusalem of God. All right. And of course, the life from the blood coming back upon them. You see, it's not that they didn't. It's not that they did not have that original life. It's like Brother Branham said. He said, one day you'll find out you always were saved. You always were that one. You'll find out. Because you see, he came on his own. He doesn't come to somebody else. It's the sheep that hear the voice. It's the sons that receive the Holy Ghost, not somebody else. See, so all right. He's telling, now supper having ended, the devil now having put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things in hands, that he was come from God and he went to God, rise from supper, laid aside his garments, and took the towel and girded himself. Now, I'm not going to try to run a parallel here, because someone might say, well, what do you think would betray Brother Branham? Who would betray the Lord in this hour? Well, Brother Branham categorically said on a tape, he said, I know who my Judas is. And I think I know who he's talking about. I have good reason to believe that. Others have the same good reason. But that's beside the point. The point is this, who is it that is causing the crucifixion of Christ again in this hour? You know what it is, identity. It is the church. Brother Brown says, I indict this nation, the Jezebel Religion Church of America, who built the image to the beast. All right, the Judas. And you know the thing is this, that Judas was friendly toward Jesus, and the Bible says he greeted him with a kiss. I'm told the original Greek said an affectionate kiss. Now, you know something? Actually, people who study about Brother Branham, even after he's been dead for this 25 years, and are not so kind as they once were, just very, very few people ever had something nasty to say. And those that were nasty were like this fellow, Koch, I believe his name is, who Zondervan Press, I think it was, that published his book, Nothing But Sheer Lies. Myself, if I'd have been the Branham family, I'd have brought it to court. Because the man told nothing but lies. Lies, 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 and nothing but lies. But normally, the world said, Brother Branham, well, he was a good man. He sure wasn't like those idiots now, Lee Vale and those guys, you know, that preach. He was a fine man. He had a great ministry. But you see what it was? When he had the great ministry, he got too big for himself. But he's a nice man. There wasn't real hatred toward Brother Branham. Even when the Church of Christ man came and was so obstreperous, their Brother Branham completely won him over. When he said, you are of the devil. He said, one thing I'll admit, Brother Branham, you certainly have the Spirit of Christ. Now, that's the Judas kiss, so to speak. It's not a matter of hating. See, that's the thing why the world all talks is love, 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 love stuff. It's not a matter of hating William Branham. But hey, the guy stood up and he said, different from us. Now, why do you think they killed the prophets? Jesus said, for what good work did you stone me? Oh, not for good work, but you shot your face off, boy. We don't take that sitting down, not around here. No, we know, we know, we know. And they don't know anything. They haven't proven anything. You tell me one thing any Pentecostal, any Methodist, any Baptist, any Presbyterian, any Roman Catholic, anybody else ever actually proved. Nobody William Branham. Nobody William Branham. Come on, smarten up. Get your mind fixed. Get your heart fixed. Get the whole thing fixed. Nobody proved anything. This man did. I wish you'd have been around. That's beside the point. He rise to supper, laid aside his garment, took the towel, girded himself, poured out water, washed their feet, and so on. Now, you know, something I like about this, I won't read it all. He said, look, he said, you're going to know afterward what you don't understand now. When were the disciples told that they would understand when the Holy Ghost came? Now, Jesus washed their feet, making them understand, look, you don't need a complete bath when you've been bathed. It's just your feet. Maybe your hands or something got soiled. That's the part you take care of. What does it say at the end time? They wash their robes. If you were in the beginning a son of God, how could you be dirty? How could you be filthy? You're just washing your robes. Symbolic of the day that you wash this flesh. Either by the word of God and you're transformed, or your flesh goes to the ground and God recreates it. Lots of things he said you don't know. But foot washing is the sign that the Holy Ghost will take care of all those spots. Get those blemishes off you. Give you understanding. Because the thing is this, he never said, you'll know later of yourselves. He said, the Holy Ghost will tell you. We're in this last day, brother, sister, where the Holy Ghost tells us all things. The mysteries have been revealed. The seventh seal opened, the thunders of thunder. We're not waiting for anything really, but to come back to take over the 1,000 years. The resurrection is a cinch, because the message is a cinch. If the shout is a cinch and been proven, the voice is a cinch and the trumpet is a cinch. And the wedding supper is a cinch. Now, what are we waiting for? We're only waiting for the visibility when we meet him in the air. What does it matter the day or the hour of the meeting? If they'd only known, they would have been ready. Just to be ready. Now, the Holy Spirit's cleaning up all those bad spots. Old Cain, poor old geezer, I got no problem. He said, you know, I know who he is. Leave him. Leave him to God. Leave him to his owner. I got no problem. But you know what he did? He had his spots all wrong. He's trying to worship God with plants and flowers. It's a sacrifice, a first fruit. But he wouldn't take the blood. Old Abel, he comes right along. He gets washed. He enters in the presence of God. The blood of Abel speaking. What about our day? Final washing, brother, sister. You get your feet washed tonight, think about what the Holy Ghost is doing for you by the Word. When someone's ministering, think how good the Holy Ghost is to be your faithful servant and to help you. That's my thoughts. Let's rise at this time. The better brethren come forward, those that are going to pray you. So, where's the brethren going to serve? And you all know how to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we stand before you tonight, singing songs and entering into this most wonderful service, which is commemorative, Lord, of your death until you come. And since you came in the form of the Holy Spirit to take over your church, how much more do we recognize your presence, your appearing, knowing at this particular time, Lord, that these symbols are not wasted, but it's a reality. We do thank you for your death. We thank you, Lord, for the shed blood that brought about the ability to bring back the Holy Ghost upon us, to seal us in as the sons that we are and were. Set us on our journey with the Word, preparing us for the great millennium, the great wedding supper, all these things, Lord, of garments washed, separated, Lord, by your word. We thank you for it. Therefore, may there be a new sacredness and a solemnity come upon us, O God, in this service and the services that follow, whatever they may be. Enter a new era, so to speak, Lord, a new plateau coming up higher and higher, where we see the grace of God manifest in whatever way you want, Lord. May we be privy to it by your word and stand in it. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's rise and be dismissed and come back tomorrow around 10 o'clock. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your love and mercy to us. We're going to go home now. As we go, we pray you go with us to give us good night's rest, Lord, sleep. But in it all, Lord, may this deep consciousness, the Holy Spirit, be with us so that we might even have our thoughts and our mind, our dreams, Lord, oriented under the gospel, if possible. But if not, then, Lord, let it be at least pleasant thinking in those things, Lord, which come a derivative of the gospel, knowing we're looking forward, Lord, to this
life which is beyond, which is going to be wonderful, Lord. We haven't got a clue hardly to what it is. We know it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be changed and marvelous. May these thoughts be with us, Lord, and may we love each other as we shall even in the future, knowing we're all part of you and part of each other. Dismiss us now with their love and mercy. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.